pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast. I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friend, on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
I miss Jocelyn.
I do, too.
She's got that little high-pitched laugh of hers that can only come out of a teeny tiny body like hers.
That's
little,
right.
Little short person laugh that just brings delight and glee wherever she goes. Like an elf. Like a Christmas elf.
At this point, I think the laugh might injure her. So
that's
we
fair.
Will let her suffer in her COVIDs.
Yep. That's what you get. Mm-hmm. For getting COVID. I would like to take this time to remind folks that every time I've had COVID, I have still recorded a show.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. yeah, and of course, my first question to her when she said, when she sent the message saying COVID's kicking my butt, my first question was, did you get your Paxlovid?
There you go.
Because get it. I don't want to hear any other excuse. I don't want to hear all the symptoms are mild. Just get it.
She'll
just
get
do it.
She's a nurse.
Yeah. She's a nurse. She knows better. Yeah. But yeah, get that Paxlovid. It's so better. It makes COVID so much faster to get over, and you feel better very quickly.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to get COVID again so that my insurance company could tell me I don't need Paxlovid,
or that we don't cover Paxlovid. Yeah. Yes,
because basically they're telling me I can't have life-saving diabetes treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure COVID's nothing to them.
Means nothing at all.
We're left showing again.
Yes, we are. But
now, the best part about making fun of Jocelyn right now is the fact that she doesn't listen to the show she's not on. So we can say whatever the hell we want. We can get away with it.
Exactly. We won't get hurt. She won't beat us up later.
She's 4 foot tall. What's she going to do?
Exactly. Well,
I guess she could run up behind you and punch you in the back of the knee. That'd take you out.
I figure my kidneys are about chest height for her.
There you go.
Yeah. And uppercuts aren't, you know, what I'm looking forward to from her. So, yeah, no, we're not going to.
Right in the ghoulies.
Exactly.
That's fair.
So how has the week been?
I don't know. Same thing. I've had a rough week. Woke up Monday. Mm-hmm. Was on my way to a funeral and needed gas.
Mm.
And had been getting a strange phone call over and over and over again for about 10 minutes before I was all ready to go and all of that, and trying to decide if I could take a fucking funeral emotionally, to be completely honest. Identity theft. Someone had gotten a hold of my stuff and had spent all my money and basically emptied out my accounts and all of that, and the fraud department was trying desperately to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
They did. That meant I had to cancel some stuff and go to the bank and run around and do a bunch of shit that I could do because I had enough gas to get from here to the bank and back. I just didn't have enough gas to get from here to Utah County and back. So I missed the funeral, and I feel awful about that, I got to be honest. Hmm. But, I mean, honestly, there was just not a goddamn thing I could do. So that was Monday, and the rest of the week went about as shitty.
Yeah. You know?
So just stuff, fun stuff.
All kinds of fun stuff this week.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
I too got a mysterious phone call on Monday morning. And well, I didn't recognize the number. It was from Michigan, which I was like, wait, is my contracting company in Michigan? I let it ring through to voicemail. It was indeed my contracting company. Recruiter saying, you need to call me back right now. So I call her back, and I was I was informed I was Friday would be my last day as a government contractor until the new contract is started in March. Huh. If they bring me back on in March. So, yeah, I was... It seems like... Because I saw all your stuff, and that feels to me like that was 3 weeks ago. Because this week has just been one long anxiety drag. And, oh, fuck. Couldn't even handle it. Couldn't even handle it. Ruined my Valentine's Day. Well, two things ruined my Valentine's Day. First... we always say our first date was on February 13th, my wife and I. And I have money this year, so I said I'm gonna have flowers delivered to her. There's my romantic gesture. So I thought about that on the night of the 12th. And I open up my phone and I'm like, local flower delivery. And this thing comes up, Avis Flowers. And I saw a pretty arrangement, so I clicked deliver. And about halfway through my day on Tuesday, I get a text message saying the flowers have been delivered. I finish up some stuff, go upstairs. Since I work from home, I go upstairs and I said, so you got your flowers? My wife said, what? No. I was like, oh, fuck. So I text them and I'm like, what the fuck? And, sorry. Sometimes they say they've delivered and when it's just on the truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. They said it should be there tomorrow. I'm like, that's fine. That's Valentine's Day.
Why the fuck my plow's going to be in a truck overnight?
Exactly. But I'm like, it's Valentine's Day. I can complain if the flowers look like shit. Valentine's Day comes and goes, no flowers. So now I'm on with them on Valentine's Day going, where the fuck are my flowers? I finally get a call I get multiple calls coming through from their customer service, which of course my phone is programmed not to answer anybody who's not in my address book. So, or not to send a ring through for anybody in my address book. That way I can be on meetings on online meetings. And I have my phone ringing all the fucking time because some bill collector wants to get a hold of me or some robocaller wants to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't answer. And then when I try to call them back, I can't get through. Finally, I get through to a customer service rep. And they're like, okay, we'll look into it. And then I get a call back and they said, so now I've set my phone so I can hear it. I can hear the phone ring. They call back and they say, okay, is it okay if they're delivered tomorrow?
No, I want my money back.
I said, well, that feels a little too late. But if she said, cause we have to send it to a different florist in your area. And I'm like, oh, so there's not even an Avis floral in my area, like it said there was.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. And I said, if it's a new florist, then I get fresh flowers. The 15th comes and goes, no flowers. So I texted, I said, time for a refund. And they fortunately sent back that they will be refunding me. But they also at the same time sent an email saying, we don't refund if you ordered within 4 days of a big holiday like Valentine's Day. And I'm like, so I'm going to hold you to the thing that you said you were refunding me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, man, it was not cheap. And I ordered the small arrangement. And it was not cheap to get these because they had a processing fee and a delivery fee and all this other shit they don't tell you about. So I do not recommend Avis Flowers if they pop up. I don't recommend them. There's my Google review since they don't have a way for me to Google review them.
Course not. You know, I delivered flowers for a little while once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy lady when I was out in Colorado. Got the job. It was $8 an hour. Just driving flowers all over town, watching people be happy. And it was pretty cool. You know, I didn't mind it. And then one day she decided to show me her pistol, which is a .38 hammerless she kept in a little fanny pack there at her waist.
That wasn't a euphemism. That was a real pistol.
Yeah, she showed me her pistol. By pointing it at me and laughing. And I was like, oh, hey, I got to run out of the truck for a minute. And I left and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't point guns at people.
Exactly.
Crazily. She thought it was hilarious.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah.
Was this in Colorado or Minnesota?
No, it's in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything was weird in Colorado.
Everything. Well, you know, they elected Lauren Boebert, so, you know.
That's fair. I mean, granted, that's Pueblo, where you get your free government catalog. I don't think you get anymore. You remember those commercials?
I remember those, and I know there's still a printing shop in Pueblo because OSHA uses it, but you know, for distribution of OSHA posters and stuff. So I know it's still there, but whether or not you can still get free government pamphlets and catalogs, I don't know. Yeah, huh. Have to find out. I delivered flowers too, one of my first jobs, but I worked for a corporate greenhouse that delivered, like, you know, the plants and flowers you get at the grocery store that are in the pot, in the pots and everything.
Yeah,
that's what I delivered.
Huh.
I had never driven a truck with a trailer before. That was a new experience.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when it started to swerve on the freeway, I was like, oh, fuck, what do I do? What do I do? And it would just kind of followed some advice I'd heard once and it slowly straightened out. And then I was like, okay, we're fine. Ugh. Yeah, they would load up a trailer, not a covered one, by the way. They'd load up a trailer and then send me off up to Salt Lake and around Utah County to deliver plants to people, to grocery stores.
Fun.
Yep. It was not. It was okay. I would have much rather been in a truck delivering flowers to, you know, smiling people who were like, oh, I get flowers.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. Yep.
It was. I think I did that for about 2 months before she finally was like, hey, have you ever seen my pistol? Ha.
And then on Friday, I applied for unemployment. At the advice of my contracting agency, who was my contracting agency was subcontracted with another agency that was actually employing me to the government, and that agency is the one who said his last day is Friday. My agency's like, we don't have any other work for you that I know of. Send me your resume. Meanwhile, apply for unemployment on Friday. So that's how it all worked out.
Yeah.
If I get hired by this other agency, I won't be subbed under anybody that I know of, so that'll be good. Yeah. Though it did save my ass at least once. The main contracting agency had hired some people on my team directly, and there was a week, a few months into the contract, where they just didn't get a paycheck. And I was like, red flag, red flag, red flag.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my agency's like, oh, no, we got our money from them early. So here's your money. Here's your paycheck. All right. I guess we should dive into some news.
News it is.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Bob Edwards, longtime Morning Edition host on NPR, passed away at 76 years old. NPR's Susan Stamberg says Edwards' voice became part of the morning routine for millions of Americans. He was Bob Edwards of Morning Edition for 24 and a half years, and this was the voice we woke up to.
Yes.
It's true. I did, many times. You know, Tiffany more than me. She listens to NPR all the time. I listen mostly to podcasts.
There was a time, my daily drive to work, that was what was on first was NPR. And Bob Edwards talking about, you know, giving us the news of the day.
Yeah.
The morning edition. Yep.
Yeah. He had a great voice. It was really, sounded like a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. People like him. Marvel Comics legend Paul Neary has passed away at 74. Known for iconic work at both Marvel and DC. His friend and colleague, Alan Davis, shared the news in a statement that Neary passed away on February 10th after a long battle with illness. And in the same post, shared a touching tribute to Neary's incredible work in the industry. Neary was one of the rare talents who could write, ink, color, letter, and edit. Mm-hmm. Throughout his career, he would help create all-time runs on books like Excalibur, Batman and the Outsiders, The Authority, Ultimates, JLA, in addition to serving as Marvel UK editor-in-chief twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
The bright, beautiful, colorful art of Alan Davis is owed largely to Paul Neary. He really brought out what Alan was trying to do with his pencils, and it was amazing. So yeah.
I'm letting a little left show leak in here.
I love this
more
one,
more due to lack of news than anything else. But ousted Representative George Santos, astronaut, entrepreneur, pretty sure he's Iron Man, George Santos.
But not a drag queen. He'll deny that.
Oh, goodness, yes. Sues Jimmy Kimmel over a Cameo video prank.
You're the dumb fucker. Put yourself on Cameo,
yep.
Santos.
Filed a lawsuit against late night host Jimmy Kimmel on Saturday over prank Cameo videos used in a segment of his talk show. Shortly after being ousted from Congress in December, Santos began offering to record personalized video messages on Cameo for $500 a video. Yeesh. In a December episode of his talk show, Kimmel mocked the disgraced congressman with a segment called Will Santos Say It, in which Kimmel paid for cameos under the fake names and requested Santos read out absurd messages. The video requests featured made-up stories, including one from a woman asking Santos to congratulate her on successfully cloning her dog named Adolf. So Santos is suing Kimmel for copyright infringement, fraud, breach of contract, and unjust enrichment, seeking $750,000 in damages through the lawsuit. That's a significant leap from the $20,000 he originally threatened to sue Kimmel over when there he could he dribbles $20,000 on the front of his pants when he's done peeing that Jimmy Kimmel.
That's, yeah, exactly.
He's fine. Yeah. So
I imagine there'll be like we'll settle, but you can't say a goddamn word about it, Georgie. But in the end, it's still it was. I don't think he's got a case, to be honest, because the contract says you do it and they can use it for whatever they want.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Santos posted about the lawsuit on Twitter on Saturday, claiming that Kimmel, quote, committed fraud, violated civil rights and federal coup, right? Don't know. Laws. Probably meant copyright laws, along with licensing agreements. He added in a separate post, with absolutely no self-awareness at all, fuck around and find out. So Paramount Global and Comcast are talking about merging Peacock and Paramount into one streaming company. The only name for it is Mount Cock. Am I right? Am I wrong?
P Mountain.
That was pretty good.
P Mountain. I could do that one too.
Yeah.
I mean, the absurdity of it aside, I'm actually there for it because there are shows on Peacock I want to watch and shows on Paramount I want to watch. And I have a hard time justifying even the five or eight bucks I pay to Paramount every month because I barely use them when Star Trek's not on. And, you know, when it comes to Peacock, what do I have? I have Poker Face.
Yeah.
I want to watch. And that's about it for me with Peacock at this point. I haven't watched anything else from there. But
see, I do on Peacock. I watch Premier League soccer. On Paramount, I watch Champions League soccer,
right?
And the Scottish Professional Football League, and the Barclays Women's teams, and the national teams, and so blah 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 blah. I watch Peacock more because they're better at getting their replays up and all of that. But Champions League is still pretty exciting, and I enjoy watching teams that I know play teams I don't know. But yeah, and then, you know, it's, I use both of them quite a bit, even for more than soccer. And if they were to get together, I'm not worried about how much they'd be bringing together. I'm worried about how much they would shave off when they downsized and what I'd end up missing out on.
I think you'd be okay with the soccer.
I hope so.
I don't think they'd shave that off because sports brings in subscribers. Sports is why we have TV, let's be honest. But it's why we had radio back in the day. And I think they could get away with it. I worry about what shows, I agree. I worry about what good dramas and and fucking Star Trek that they're going to shave off, because I don't want to lose any Star Trek. I'm already losing a really good Star Trek series this year, and I don't want to. And I'm upset because it didn't get its full 7 years.
Yeah,
but it got one more year than Enterprise, so I'll give it that.
True. Hopefully, and they'll have a better ending. I swear to God, if Riker pops up, I'm going to shit myself.
I'm going to freak out.
Riker and Deanna having a chit-chat about the future.
You know, what would be funny is if you have this whole, like, it opens with a conversation between Riker and Deanna, and or you're watching, like, that the big Borg battle with Picard, and then all of a sudden you hear the captain's voice say, Captain Burnham's voice say, computer end program. And then she walks off a holodeck and goes and does something. that would be a nice symmetry to what they did with Enterprise, which was terrible.
That was a bad ending. Anyway, I have a feeling overall that this will be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just because bad things keep happening.
Yes.
You know, so why would they do something good when they could fuck people over in the meantime?
I know.
With that said, that's it for the news.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Tell me. If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters.
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me. There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What have you been watching in the moving pictures this week, Jeff?
Stuff and things.
Yeah, me too.
Not a lot of comic related stuff. Not even a lot of other related stuff. Taylor Tomlinson, bless her heart, put out a new special on the Netflix that is not only really quite good. But made me want to find her, give her a hug, and let her know that everything's going to be okay, buddy. Because holy shit, there's some trauma in that kid's comedy this time around. Very fucked up. Funny.
This is the dark shit special.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every comedian gets one. They get to have a dark shit special. Yeah. So yeah.
But it was funny. It made me laugh a lot, even while I was concerned. And then, other than watching, these dogs. I hate these dogs so much. I just hate them. They're just the worst. So other than that, we watched After Midnight. I'm watching that every day. saw Jon Stewart's triumphant return to The Daily Show on Monday.
Yes.
And for anybody that's wondering, yeah, Biden's old. It's not great. But... You know, so those of you that are mad at Jon Stewart for pointing out the fact that Biden's 83 fucking years old, you know, he is. He woke up that morning and he's like, I'm 83.
Everything hurts. There's the thing that Jon said that I agree with even more is it's not the voter's job to feel better about Biden being 83. It's the Biden's campaign to make us feel better about him being 83.
Yep. And you know what? You've got, he's doing it.
He was, yeah. He is doing it. It's just not as visible as it could be. That's all.
Well, when the guy you're running against basically has 91 felony charges?
Yeah.
And 4 arrests?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
And the cameras, and every time he opens his big fat orange yap, the cameras have to point at him.
Yep.
And record everything he says because they're waiting for him to say something stupid, which is guaranteed. And it just runs over everything that Biden is doing. And that gives, you know, the right room to move, you know, to say whatever they want.
Yeah. 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 And then over on Dropout, my mm-hmm. favorite television app, season 6 of Game Changer is back. They had their first episode, and it was fucking great. It made me laugh and laugh and laugh. I swear to God, it's the best $5 I spend every month is Dropout.tv. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not for everybody. I get that. But there is, I think, something there for just about anybody that listens, especially to this show. But having 6 seasons of Game Changer, that's something. And you guys should go and pay attention to that. I guarantee you'll smile. Mm-hmm. I'm not guaranteeing your money. I'll guarantee with like hugs and shit. How's that?
Right.
Okay. Because you may be dead inside. I don't know. You may be the most unfun person listening. I don't know you all. I hope I do. I'd like to. Why don't you guys all come over? Let's do a potluck. Everybody at my house, Tuesday at 4, because I won't be here. But yeah, just drop your casseroles off at the door. We're fine. We're doing okay. I mean, that's been the worst. The worst part of my week is the fact that I'm broke as shit right now because of the identity theft. So mm-hmm. all of my TV channels have tried to process and are one by one locking me out. I have not been able to watch soccer since Tuesday. And I've had there's 4 games I want to watch really badly, and I mm-hmm. can't until next week. So because apparently fixing what the bank caught, and I'm so glad they caught it. I'm mm-hmm. really not dogging on my credit union. I fucking love my credit union, you know, but I would really appreciate it if they could hurry up.
Hurry up and get the money back in.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then you got a holiday on Monday, so that's even more time for them not to get it done.
Yeah, day off. I can't watch my sports. Is this mm-hmm. how you people feel when your seasons are off? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Is that...
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
That's how we feel.
It explains why Tiffany gets all twitchy through the summer, you mm-hmm. know, and then grows more and more excited as we get closer to fall. I'm sorry, autumn. Did you ever see the meme where somebody's like, you know, in the rest of the English speaking world, it's autumn, but in America, it's fall because leaves fall. Leaves fall down. It's fall. Anyway, that's all I've watched this week. What do you watch this week? That went somewhere, didn't it?
3 years ago in anxiety time, I watched the Super Bowl and enjoyed the hell out of that.
That's funny. Yeah, we watched that, obviously.
Good fun stuff. The Deadpool commercial leading me to watch the full Deadpool teaser.
Yeah, that was a long-ass teaser. Funny.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a long teaser. Got some stuff on that coming up here in the news. Then after the Super Bowl, there was a show on. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. It's called Tracker. And it's based on, I didn't know this. I just watched the show and I was like, hey, that's pretty good. It's kind of like Reacher, but without all the killings. It's like Reacher if he spent all of his time in the mountains.
Okay.
Which, I enjoy going into the mountains. So that was pretty cool. It's about this guy whose name is Coulter Shaw, and he is a, he's a professional tracker and makes his living by chasing down, by looking for missing persons who have a reward for their return. And it's kind of this nice, soft little story. And I thought, hey, this is okay. I could probably enjoy this. This could be something I could watch as one of my mystery shows that I enjoy watching. It gets to the end and the credits roll. It says based on The Never Game by Jeffrey Deaver.
Huh.
Now, Jeffrey Deaver wrote one of our favorite post-Ian Fleming James Bond novels,
yeah.
Carte Blanche, which had him in the modern era and was kind of reinventing everything about James Bond. And I fucking loved that book. And then they went back to writing about James Bond in the 60s because that's the Fleming Foundation. And then Deaver didn't write James Bond again. But he's got this new series out called, you know, about it's basically the Coulter Shaw novels So, of course, I am now reading The Never Game as my evening reading, my nighttime, my bedtime reading. And it's pretty good. It's taken me, I don't know how many chapters before I've kind of gotten back into the swing of Deaver's writing style, because it can be a little abrupt.
Yeah.
I've kind of fallen into it. I finally got to a point. I'm like, there will be a point where he tells a story the way I want it told, or a passage where I want the way I like the story told, and then I will be into the whole thing. And it happened. There's this great little in culture's past that I was like, this is interesting. There are some changes, obviously, moving it to TV. One of the changes is very woke.
Oh, no.
And they put that on after the Super Bowl, which I thought was fucking awesome.
Yay.
So, yeah, you can watch this on Paramount. Obviously, it'll be on CBS as a regular, as part of the regular shows. We'll see how long it lasts. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But yeah, there was a change that was pretty woke. There's another change that's not so woke. If I'm reading this whole thing correctly, if I'm reading what Deaver is putting down, he doesn't actually say it, but I get the feeling that Coulter is at least part Native American, based on a guy when he was a kid calling him chief, and he's aware of the insult, is how Deaver puts it. Mm-hmm. But he never comes out and says he's part Native American. But then they make this series and they cast what's his name? Let me see. Justin Hartley, who is very white. but then again, he describes Coulter as having fair hair. So I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I'm hoping something will come out from it. But yeah, some of the characters are really great. And Mary McDonnell has a little cameo in it, or a little small part in it. It's nice. A great little show. Yep.
Nice.
And then The Conners is back. And they started Offerman on the right foot, as they had Nick Offerman on as a cameo. So that was fun. I always loved Nick Offerman. And then, yeah, still got, what's his name?
John Goodman?
No, Samwise Gamgee is on the series now.
Oh, Sean Astin.
Sean Astin is on as a boyfriend of one of the daughters. And John Goodman's still alive, still doing it. Otherwise, it's just a sitcom about people who are poor and broke all the time.
That's like my life without comedy.
Exactly.
It's my life with a laugh track.
there's the comedy is very sad comedy. It's very dark comedy.
Yep.
And there's no Roseanne Barr to come in and fuck it up. So it's talented, competent actors who make a great show. Yeah. That's why we enjoy watching it. That, and we can relate to people who have to live in, you know, a home with furniture that's never changed and, just struggle to get by, where, you know, like Dan Connor, who's in his 70s, I think, has to keep working because he's got no retirement, no nothing. Yeah.
So it's a documentary.
Yeah, basically, it is. It's a documentary of what my life is going to be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I watched.
Sweet. What do you want to do? Some news?
Let's do some news.
All right. Marvel Studios unveiled the new Fantastic Forecast, making me give almost a shit about a comic book I don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four has done nothing for me since I left my single digits. You know, by the time I was 10 and 11, I didn't really care for the Fantastic Four anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but after a string of really awful movies, this one is going to be helmed, if you will, by Pedro Pascal, whom, as you know, is on my Bicurious card.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm interested in the Pedro Pascal angle of it because... I mean, obviously, you don't have to cast Krasinski like you did in the Doctor Strange movie because,
Different universe.
Alternate realities.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really liked him. So I love Pedro and I want to see Pedro do well in it. And at the same time, I'm like, I kind of like John Krasinski too.
I did. Maybe we'll get John Krasinski in the new Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yep.
Probably do. Anyway, let's see. Pedro Pascal, Vanessa mm-hmm. Kirby, whom I don't think I know. Joseph Quinn, who I know I don't know. And Ebon Moss Bacharach, who was on The Bear, played Cuz. What a great fucking show. And so if he's playing the thing, I am here for it. You know, so between him and Pascal, you know, if the other two can even just half keep up and the script doesn't suck, I think this is going to be a good movie. I'm actually pretty excited about it. Slated to come out July 25th, 2025.
Well, he doesn't look like Joseph Quinn when you look up Ebon Moss Bacharach, so I think he's playing Ben Grimm, which would be fucking awesome.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I like, so they do this thing where they posted it up on X, which I'm like, come on, let's stop giving Elon Musk money and get off of X.
Oh, you mean Twitter? I said, you mean Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter.
Yeah.
But anyway, they posted it up on Twitter, and meanwhile, it's this great little shot, but it's obviously got a 60s vibe, and even the costumes have a 60s vibe to them. And I'm like, could they... We've often speculated they could do this in the 60s, have them get stuck in something that then they show up in 2024. I think that would be fun.
Trying to get the deed back to the Baxter Building.
Exactly. But I do like the Herbie there off in the corner of the little picture they did. So it's a drawing with their faces basically drawn in. So
yeah,
it looks like fun. I will be there for it because I'm there for all the Marvel movies, whether they're great or not.
Well, that's true.
Yep. Yep.
I was
all the Marvel movies and all the Marvel shows, even Secret Invasion. I'm there for them. I can even find positive things in Secret Invasion. Not very many, but I can find them. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I watched Secret Invasion and, you know, I probably enjoyed it more than I would enjoy something else.
Mm-hmm.
But for a Marvel show, I was like, what the fuck even is this? Is this just some scripts
exactly.
You guys found? You know, did an intern drop mm-hmm. these off somewhere and you guys are like, oh shit, when did we put this into production? Because, you know, you guys are busy, but you did it.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, okay. I'm looking forward to it. I really mm-hmm. am. So we'll do that. The first trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine teases Wade Wilson's arrival in the MCU, but it's also hinting at a grim fate for Fox's X-Men universe.
Yep.
Is this the end of Fox's X-Men universe? I certainly hope so. Oh, my God. It is time. It is time. Let it move on. Let Kevin Feige have some mutants.
Could Deadpool be the way that Monica Rambeau gets back to the MCU, you know?
It looks wacky as shit, man.
It looks so much fun. And what I didn't catch, because it moves so quickly in the trailer, was he's kind of backed up against a wall that looks like a fallen marquee. When you look at it in a still photo, it's the 20th Century Fox marquee.
Yeah.
Yep. Buried in the dirt. Like the Statue of Liberty in Planet of the Apes. It's that funny. And I thought, oh my God, yes, please. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. I think that's hilarious.
And then when he's laying on the ground and the shadow of Wolverine comes across him, laying
yes.
about 4 feet away from him to his right is a beat the shit out of copy of Marvel's Secret Wars.
Yes.
Does that mean anything? I have no fucking idea, and nor do I care. I'm just really looking forward to seeing this movie. I don't care. I don't care if it's a 2-hour mock-up of the bad CGI in The Flash. You
yeah.
know, I am here for this movie. It's going to be funny no matter how weird it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one was fucking great. The second one was startlingly better. You know, so... No, I don't think they're going to jump the shark with this. I just think that they are going to have a fun fucking time based solely on the pegging joke at the beginning of the trailer.
The pegging joke, the you seem to have soiled yourself while you were unconscious. I wasn't unconscious. All of that in the trailer. I'm like, oh, fuck yes, I'm here for it. The wig.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, I'm here for all of it. Yes.
And, of course, the TVA shows up, and I'm like, yep, I'm here.
Yep, I'm there. Yep.
Because we just finished Loki season 2, what, 10 minutes ago.
So, mm-hmm.
Luc Besson, who owes me $32 for Valerian. Besson is going to take a stab at directing Dracula. Now, Luc Besson hits more than he misses Valerian. So this could be fucking cool. Is it going to be Dracula in space? Luc Besson does pretty cool. But he did Leon the Professional. You know?
I mean, I look positively at The Professional. I look positively at...
Fifth Element?
Fifth Element. And I think, okay, I think you could do it. Just get the right cast. Don't cast that guy you cast as Valerian, because he was completely dead. Dead-eyed, dead-panned, and that's not Valerian, you know? Get me somebody good. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. Luc Besson biography. Mm-hmm. Luc Besson. I'm looking for the filmography. I want to see what we've done here. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. Brick Mansions. Haven't seen it. Taxi Brooklyn.
Haven't seen it.
Have not seen it. There's more. Lucy. I actually like that movie. Jesus Christ, this dude's made some fucking movies.
Lucy was...
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that movie. Yeah.
La Femme Nikita, Point of No Return. Remember that one? That one was good.
That was okay. That was
Nikita
okay.
was yeah. better.
Yeah, La Femme Nikita, the original, his original La Femme Nikita was really good.
Yeah. Yamakaze.
Even if it did feel like The Professional with a girl, you know, I still enjoyed it.
The Transporter?
That was the breakthrough one for him. And really, it also helped put Lambert on the map.
Not Lambert, that's Statham.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. It was a different movie. I was thinking of Subway. Transporter, fucking great movie. Yeah.
I haven't seen Subway. What the fuck?
If not Subway, Metro, I think it was Subway.
No,
though.
It's called Subway. I'm looking right at it. I just haven't seen it.
It's so weird and good and everything. Yeah.
Look at that haircut on Christopher Lambert. He looks ridiculous. I love it.
It's why Lambert got Highlander. Not because of Greystoke. We always thought it was Greystoke, but Greystoke hadn't really come out yet. When they were casting Highlander, all they had was Subway, and it was so popular in France, he was Gaumont's biggest star. And so he was basically the number one movie star in Europe, and they'd already cast Connery, and then they cast him, and it was like they had this huge budget, you know, to do it.
Yeah. Paramount's cutting 800 staff 2 days after the Super Bowl was the biggest ever TV show. This, again, is another reason why fewer and fewer corporate entities owning more and more media outlets is terrifying. Mm-hmm. They just laid off 800 people 2 days after the most watched TV program in American history. I swear to God, American press, if you don't stop calling the Super Bowl the most watched TV program in history when the fucking final of the World Cup last year had 1.6 billion viewers and you had 157 million, fuck off with your most watched in history. Fuck off with that, you American exceptionalist wankers. 1.6 billion is more than 157 million.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, Paramount's an asshole, fired a bunch of people because they did a good job. They're in the middle of fucking stock buybacks, and they're watching that go up because they're talking about the merger.
Well, layoffs, mergers, merger discussions, even if no merger goes through, all that helps their stock buybacks.
Yep.
And doing stock buybacks is where they make all their, where their executives and their, and specifically their investors make all their fucking money. And it's like, all this is just a big money-making scheme. That's the part that needs regulation in this country to left show again. That's the part that needs to be fixed. And that's why we see all these mergers happening and nobody's doing anything about it. I'm like, don't we have anti-union laws or not anti-monopoly laws? What the fuck is going on here?
We do, but they're hard to explain.
No,
so
they're
we
not.
Don't explain it because it's hard. And American trust, government doesn't
trust,
do hard
we
stuff.
We don't have trust-busting government. That's what we don't have. Yeah. No,
we need Truman back.
Mm-hmm.
Little shit. That's it for the news.
All right, another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
You know, one of the reasons we're doing a fundraiser right now to get studio space is my dogs. The other one is I live in an apartment, and it is insanely crowded here.
Yeah.
Both my office and Tiffany's office are in the bedroom, which means no clients, no guests, no new shows, no anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that we're doing it. Is to get into a space where we can do the show, record the show, video the show, put that out in a way that will get us some growth that we've needed, because I think we've pretty much hit where we can go with just audio. In addition, as I've laid out a few times over the internet, and you guys are going to be seeing a lot more of me fundraising, because I think I mentioned last week I did it on accident. I started a week early on accident. But we started Defenestrate Media to give an outlet to nonprofits, charities, and just people who were looking for top shelf advertising, you know, at a much lower rate. I want your Clean Air group to come down and have some professional shit done. I want your candidacy to come down and make it look like you're serious and to be taken seriously without taking all your money. There are too many advertising agencies. There are too many studio agencies all over the place, but especially here in Salt Lake City, that basically charge a shitload of money to make sure that you lose with dignity.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not that guy. You know, I'm like the fight until you win guy. You know, and that takes money. And if you're spending all your money making a beautiful postcard to send out for your mailer, you can't mail your postcard because you don't have money for mailing. That's really what it comes down to, is there are causes, there are groups that are doing incredible work that could use a hand. I am that hand. I just need to be able to do it. We've got new shows lined up that are just waiting for a space to start recording. You know, there's just so much just sitting there that we're just asking for help. So that we can make everything better for you guys. You know, when it really comes down to, if you want to do it for the altruistic reasons that I first started this company up, great. Let's do that. If you want to do it because you want better content, let's do that. Whatever it is, head over to thecomicbookpodcast.com. And it's right there, hard to miss. Click on the link, you know, come and visit. Just throw a couple bucks at it. The more we raise, you know, the closer we get. And I've got people that have offered to come in and help when it's time to set up. I've got a couple of, you know, I got a sound guy. Mm-hmm. You remember Peter. He said yep. he'd help out. I got a couple of carpenters that are going to help out. There's a big community effort going right now. All we got to do is just find a way to pay for it, and it's really not that much. So if you guys could pop over to comicbookpodcast.com, click on that link right there at the top of the page underneath the hero header, and help us out. I would super appreciate it. Okay.
Let's do some comic book news.
Comic book news. See, I told you I could vamp.
You vamp very well.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Right on the tail of the mediocre-selling Wolverine Madripoor Knights comes the announcement that Wolverine will come back in a new series.
Oh.
As the Spirit of Vengeance in May's Helverine.
Helverine returns. I think it's based on the fact that that one issue of Wolverine that was tied into the whole Ghost Rider thing is worth a lot more money because of the Helverine stuff, which I read it and I was like, this is nothing.
Yep.
I was lucky. I bagged it and just put it with my rest of my Wolverines because that the next week I heard, oh, it's worth $30 already. I'm like, oh, never mind. I'm going to hold on to that one for a while.
No, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Benjamin Percy's going to be writing it. Julius Otta will be doing the art, and Ryan Stegman will be doing colors. I like Ryan Stegman's work. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I wish he remembered his friends. Okay.
Remember us, Ryan.
What else have we got going here? Star Trek Celebration's Pride Special has been announced. Star Trek's LGBTQIA plus characters will get the spotlight in Star Trek Celebration's number one, a one-shot comic book from IDW arriving ahead of Pride Month in 2024. Announced this week via Screen Rant, the anthology comic features stories starring characters like Picard 7 of 9, Stamets, Adria Tall, and Gray Tall, Lower Decks, Beckett Mariner, Jennifer Ryan, and Kelvin Timelines, Hikaru Sulu. Mm-hmm. These stories will be written by Vita Ayala, Steve Orlando, Mags Visaggio, and more. This one hits shelves before June, which, by the way, is a really good time to get your Pride shit out, not fucking August. Looking at you, DC and Marvel.
Take note, Marvel. This isn't coming out on June 29th. It's coming out on May 29th. It will be on the shelves, so when people are thinking Pride Month, they can come in, and there is a Pride comic right there for them.
Yep.
And in this case, it'll be Star Trek. Well done. Very well played, IDW. Because we know the next week will be DC's, and then 2 weeks after that will be Marvel's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then about a year later, they'll probably put out a... Oh, my God. Stan Lee died?
Yeah, exactly.
More Marvel news. Jessica Jones to get a new crime novel from a best-selling author? After becoming a beloved part of comics and television, Jessica Jones is about to star in a brand new type of story. Earlier this month, Marvel and Hyperion Avenue announced Breaking the Dark, a Jessica Jones Marvel crime novel, new prose book that will arrive in July. Breaking the Dark, a Jessica Jones Marvel crime novel. Jesus Christ, Marvel, just put your logo on it and stop having to make us say it all the goddamn time. I get it. Fuck. Anyway, Lisa Jewell, known for writing None of This Is True, novel will kick off a new imprint of Marvel crime novels, which reimagine some of Marvel's most beloved heroes and villains in stories geared toward adult readers. It will also include a Luke Cage novel written by S.A. Cosby, nice, and a Daredevil novel written by Alex Segura.
Damn.
Yeah.
I am here for all of this.
Me too. Me too.
I because of you turning me on to Spencer... because if you're turning me on to Spencer and then also, you know, my love of all the James Bond novels, crime novels have become pretty much all I read when it comes to regular prose novels, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll still pick up the occasional urban fantasy, But really, my occasional urban fantasy right now is whenever Jim Butcher gets around to dropping another Harry Dresden novel.
Yep.
The rest of the time, I am not really that interested. I read through a ton of these, and I haven't picked any up for a long time. But meanwhile, I'm like Spencer, and now I'm reading Coulter Shaw, you know, I'm reading Reacher. I'm getting into these crime novels. So yes, I'm here for these. I get Marvel and a crime novel, and it's Lisa Jewell. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
So
that is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it for the news.
So what have you been reading this week, Jeff?
Honestly, all I took a look at was Night Thrasher number one, because that was my pick of the week last week. And then I saw the covers in person and was like, this looks even worse than I thought. So I sat down for 10 minutes and flipped through the 22 pages of, oh, wow, what startling mediocrity.
Welcome back to the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is why I quit reading comics in the 90s. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is just copyright retention. That's all it was, you know, because it's not good. And it really does is it doubles down on my complaint that black characters just get hosed by the big two over and over and over again. You know, yeah. Cyborg doesn't have to suck, folks. He does. I think less of Cyborg than I do of Aquaman. And I went and saw Aquaman 2. With my eyes. I can't take that back. You can't wash that out. You know,
it never goes away.
Yeah, Jason Momoa is all hunky and shit, but who gives a flying fuck? That movie was terrible. I mean, it wasn't The Flash terrible, but by
nothing's
the way,
Flash terrible.
Let me just throw this out for shits and giggles. I was 50-50 on whether or not I was going to go see Madam Web with any haste or urgency.
Right.
Now that it's getting all of these terrible reviews, I'm like, oh my God, I have got to see this fucking movie.
I'm kind of on the fence because our buddy Rich Bonaducci panned it.
Yeah.
And I at least trust his opinion because he's one of us. So I'm like, shit.
No,
I still want to see it.
I want the spectacle. I want to see how bad this is. Is it worse than Morbius? I have got to know. I have to know. I am obsessed with knowing. So, you know, I'll let you know if I ever get my identity back. Who am I? What am I? Where am I?
This You're is in not, the studio.
This is not yes. my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful car. Actually, I love my car. Anyway,
yes.
That's all that I have read this week. How about you?
All right. I picked up Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I wasn't going to do it because I was kind of protesting the fact that they killed Scarlet Witch's series to have it come back months later as originally they billed it as Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, which really bothered me. I'm like, Wanda has a great series. Why are you taking this away from her? Okay. I was wrong. She's still in Lockkill, New Jersey. Darcy's still there. She's still got the shop, but at the same time, she's dealing with a crisis and Pietro is helping her, which he's pissing her off. And then, all of a sudden this package is delivered to her door, addressed to, Wanda and Pietro, and Pietro recognizes it's in their stepfather's handwriting because, it turns out Magneto is not their biological father. That got revealed years ago.
Yep.
Anyway, Wanda opens it. She reads the message and immediately destroys it. So the mystery is what was on the message, because Pietro's pissed because he doesn't get to read the messages. She's like, you've always tried to protect me from things that are going to hurt me. I'm protecting you for once. And he gets pissed and runs away.
Pretty quick, I'm sure.
And just basically runs around the earth a few times. And then gets shot by this guy. Who shoots him with an anti-gravity bullet, and it catches him by surprise and just shoots him in the air super fast. So I don't know if he'll think about doing the little spinny hands thing the Flash does or something to, you know, keep himself from flying away. But I'm like, what a great way to take out a speedster. I like that.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
their momentum would just carry them right into orbit.
Exactly. Exactly. Because he was he was kind of doing a leap at the time. The guy shoots him right as he's leaping, and all of a sudden he's just taken off. And he's like, yeah, he'll freeze and suffocate in space now. I was like, dude, that's harsh. And I fucking love it. I'm here for this. Anything to give Pietro a little comeuppance. And then, of course, he attacks Wanda. Or they attack Wanda, or a separate team attacks Wanda. Zaps her with something. I can't remember what it was, but it was a kind of a mental block. So she's going to have a harder time casting spells. But okay. I'm like, but her main power isn't just casting spells, it's hexing. And if she zaps you with a hex, you're fucked. So good luck, dude. That's where the issue ended. But yeah, it was really fun. Tons of action. Same writer, same artist that did the Scarlet Witch series. So I think I'm going to dump this back into my hole to read it. I dislike that they're making us do all these, you know, 6 issues, and then we'll wait 3 months before they get back to the story. I'm like, just give me a series, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
And then Penthouse Comics.
I flipped through it. I didn't have time to read it, but I certainly saw what I wanted to see.
Yeah. I picked this up, and first of all, they put a not safe for work cover over the top of the naughty cover that shows boobs. And here's the problem. They put out 2 of these covers. I didn't know which cover was which. There's a little QR code. You shoot it, and it doesn't tell you which cover is which. It just gives you information on Penthouse Comics. Okay. But the fun thing is that it's not just one of those pieces of paper they put over Naughty Comics to hide them. It's a full poster of the cover you got.
Nice.
So it's a fucking centerfold, right?
Yep.
Magazine size, kind of a loose, you know, it feels like a magazine. I will say this reminded me a lot of Heavy Metal when they would do non-sci-fi stories.
Yeah.
It's just really solid writing. In fact, I'm going through this and I'm just like, this is so cool. It feels like Image Comics, crime stories and stuff. It feels like it's all sexy and stuff. There are articles. I haven't read them. I read the first one, and then I didn't read the next ones because I was wanting to get to the
layout in the back?
The layout in the back, as it were. And, your torque wrench hiding the naughty bits was a little softcore for me, but that's okay. Still, she's very well put together, nicely tattooed. I rather enjoyed that part. simple man, simple taste. I will say it is not, it depends on what your definition of pornography is. To me, it is not porn. It's softcore. I have a book from my good friend, Lori Foster, at Laguna Studios now. It used to be Unlikely Hero Studios, but a divorce took that away. She wrote this book called Heart Eater, and this one definitely has porn in it. Because you see penis and vag and penetration, which is that's usually the definition of that's pornography. That's what gets an X rating. All this is pretty much a hard R. Yeah. All the way through. And very good, though. I mean, the stories are really compelling. The nudity helps, but it's actually, it's not necessary in some of the stories, and it still works anyway. So, I enjoy it. I think I'm going to be adding Penthouse Comics to my hold because I just like it.
So. For the article.
I'm there for the story.
Yeah.
I like the stories.
I like the last story at the end.
The last story was pretty good. Not as well written, but good dialogue in all the other stories.
Yeah.
There was one story I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. You're jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
And it ended, and I was like, that felt like just a self-contained story, not a part one. And all of these are part ones. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be a full-on deal. And then Penthouse can release trades of each of these stories that'll probably be pretty fucking thick for each story that they do. And there's a couple of these I would love to get in trade where it's all one story, you know, put together. Anyway, that's what I have read.
Nice.
Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week, Jeff?
Let's start with mainstream. Ultimate Spider-Man number 2. Holy shit, Ultimate Spider-Man number 1 just blew the fuck up. To the point that I have not had time to read it yet because I sold my copy to a customer that was really sad. I do that.
They were depressed. They didn't get their comic, and so you sold them yours.
This was a younger person, and they were near to tears because they were supposed to come in that day, that Wednesday, that new comic book day, and instead their parents are like, "It'll be fine," and made them wait till Saturday, you know, and we were out on Wednesday.
Yeah, and you were.
Yep, and so I'm like, you know what? I'll take care of you, buddy. Don't worry about it. And he was very happy. So anyway, I'm looking forward to Ultimate Spider-Man number 2 from Marvel, and from DC, Batman Offworld number 4. I don't hate this series. I'm having a good time with it. So we'll have to see. I think it finishes in 5, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, to the next issue. But it's been good so far. I've liked it. How about you? What do you got for mainstream?
So my mainstream pick for Marvel is also Ultimate Spider-Man number 2. I really enjoyed number 1. I like the concept of it. I don't know if this is going to be kind of a self-contained story, and then we just sort of leave the Ultimate Universe after 6 to 12 issues. I guess it depends on how well these sell. But if the sellouts of these things are any indication, I think we're doing okay. And then from DC Comics, Batman number 144... which is the end of the Joker year 1, which is fucking amazing.
Yep.
There are 2 stories going on in this. One in the past when the Joker becomes the Joker and you still got Batman wearing purple gloves. And yet they've gone ahead and given him the look of that. Who was it who drew Batman year 0? Because they'd been doing Batman, you know, after New 52, but the costume he gave him, which had the pads on the sides and stuff, and on the thighs and stuff, so they're still putting him in that, like that's canon now, which I think is cool. But anyway, yeah, that's going on, and then there's this in the future, like you see Damian as Batman in the overcoat kind of look.
Yeah, I like that look.
So, yeah, so it's those 2 things going on, and 2 different artists, and the artist for the future stuff. Oh my God, his work is gorgeous. There's this shot of the Joker rising out of the water that I'd like that as a painting in my house, please. That's just fucking cool. It's so cool. Really beautiful stuff. And I just, the story by Zdarsky is just super compelling. For my indie picks from Image Comics, Firepower number 30. This is the series finale. I really like this series. It's kung fu. It's learning to shoot fireballs. It's fighting dragons. It's all that cool, all the cool stuff. And I've enjoyed it. And I do like a story to end, but at the same time, yeah, I kind of don't want the story to end. You know?
Yeah.
And then from our friends over at Distillery with their giant oversized books that with that in this Penthouse magazine comic I'm buying, I'm going to have to get me another magazine box. I haven't I haven't had. I've only got one magazine box, and it's full of old Conan, Savage Sword of Conans. Anyway, and some and heavy metal magazines. But this one is Blasphemous. This is Mirka Andolfo.
Yep.
Sweet Paprika. Mercy and Unnatural. So, in a world where pop stars have ascended to divinity and the masses bow in veneration to a new generation of viral superstar angels and demons, thrive on this exaltation and reveal and revel in this spotlight that grants them unimaginable power. So it's a Taylor Swift story. And yeah. It just looks fucking cool. You've got Clelia, the reigning queen of pop, finds her throne shaken by a newcomer radiating with enigmatic charm. And you've got basically it's pop stars meets American Gods. You know, it just looks really fun. So I'm looking forward to that. How about you, sir?
Image has Cobra Commander number one, a reprint, second printing coming out. We sold out of that one too, so I'll be picking that one up. Mm-hmm. And then Cemetery Kids Don't Die from Oni Press. Experience the exhilarating, terrifying adventure from critically acclaimed writer Zach Thompson and blockbuster artist David Irizarry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's 21st century sucks hard. But, you know.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, this one looks good. This one looks mm-hmm. good. At the farthest edge of human perception, where science fiction and horror collide, experience 2024's most exhilarating, terrifying adventure. I'm there. I'm good for mm-hmm. it. I like Zach Thompson.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I get the hiccups or something. I don't know what's going on. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, that's it for this week.
All right. Today is Tuesday.
Nope.
Our
TARDIS.
We just did that part. Yeah, let's jump in our TARDIS, head into April, and give our picks of the week. So, what are you looking forward to coming out in April?
Give me a sec. I'm scrolling towards it. There we go. In the 1500s, a ship of seafaring navigators run afoul of a lost world where the only thing they have is one king. The king of the monsters. Before humanity had successfully traveled the entire globe, it was believed that monsters ruled the oceans just beyond the horizon. Here There Be Dragons, a Godzilla tale, was written on maps to denote areas people dared not go. That is, until Sir Francis Drake circumnavigated the seas, visiting foreign lands and collecting treasures. That's what history tells us, but history does not have the full tale.
That's right.
Yeah, this is a Godzilla story from the 1500s. Braxton's been reading it and says it's fucking great, so I'm going to pick that one up. Bound for $20 in 128 glorious colorful pages in a trade paperback on sale April 9th, 2024.
Perfect trade waiting comic book, in my opinion, right
yep.
there.
Yep.
Yep.
How about you?
Mine is from Image Comics, 7174 AD. This is from the fevered brain and drawing desk of T.P. Louise and Ashley Wood. Comes an all-new ongoing series collecting bits and bobs from Ash's storied career. Up first, two full-length tales, Duo Star Racers and Mr. and Miss and Mrs., featuring 48 newsprint pages of madness and mayhem. So T.P. Louise and Ash Wood, they created Lore, that comic book series, they're extremely talented. You see their work, you're like, okay, I recognize that. I absolutely recognize that. That's beautiful. And this is sort of different stories they've written over the years that Ash has drawn, and they've written up together, and it just looks like fun. And the fact that it's printed on newsprint just makes me very happy. So, yes, that's what I'm looking for in April.
Nice.
And that is it.
Okay. Well, sweet.
Anything else?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I will remind you to jump on over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, click on the link for our GoFundMe, and help us get a new studio. We really, as Jeff talked about earlier, we really, really need this studio. It would be really nice to be back together again in a studio together, working together instead of just all this online stuff, which was great during COVID and is great now that, you know, Jeff hasn't got a lot of room for my big ass to be in there. But
Taylor comes over from time to time, and I don't have room for her either.
Exactly. She's tiny. So, yep. I think studio would be awesome. And I would, you know, another way you can help us out is by joining the ranks of our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week, we put out extra content that you don't get to hear here on the free show. And it's even better. Results may vary than what we put on the free shows. So come check us out. Once again, this week, we are continuing our discussion of the best movies of all time ranked, starting with number, what is it, 20?
Yeah, I think so.
The auto drop did not happen. So let me get down there to it. I think it's number 20. And this is where we start getting into some of the movies you would expect to have in the top 20, in my opinion. There are still a few surprises, but yeah. Oh, no, top 30? Jesus Christ, where is this?
No, we're at 20. Because the last one we did last week was It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life, that's right. I somehow missed one of them last week, so we'll have to cover it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia.
Mm-hmm.
We're there every week that we record with custom content just for you, pal.
That's right. Just for you.
Sweet.
So check us out. And I will say, as I always do, until you shoot a speedster with an anti-gravity bullet, make mine Marvel. For Stan.
For Asgard. You'd think you'd be able to dodge the bullet.